Over the White Line with Henry Deacon.
Well, a very good evening. It's been a while, hasn't it? I hope you're all well. I hope you've all had a really good summer and a very warm welcome once again to Over the White Line, back for a brand new season here on 93.7 Express FM, your local radio station for Portsmouth, where once again, as ever, we are proudly sponsored by Bisco Solicitors. It is the place where the right team gets you the right results. For more information on the service that they provide, do head over to their website. It is biscos-law.co.uk, and we will be covering all of our local clubs all across the leagues, all across the pyramids, once again in the 2023-24 season. And we've got some real storylines for you over the course of the next 9 months. Some we already know, some that will develop over the course of time. But one thing that hasn't changed is the fact that we want you to be a major part of the show. And you can get in contact with us by texting Express and your message. The number you need for that is 81400. A reminder of that again, it is Express and your message to 81400. You can send us a tweet. The handle you need is at ExpressFM. Send us an email to studio@expressfm.com. And excitingly for our football coverage, for the first time in the 2023-24 season, of course, Over the White Line, across the Football Hour, across Pompey Live, you can get in touch with us with the brand spanking new. It's still shiny. It's got that new app smell. It is the ExpressFM app, which is available to download on both the Apple App Store and on Google Play. And even more than that, you can send us a voice note on there as well. So send in any of your thoughts, your opinions, keep them fun, keep them clean, and we can get them shouted out live on air. Literally shouted out live on air, courtesy of the brand new Express FM app, which, as I say, is available now wherever you get your apps from. But it's going to be an incredible ride for the 2023-24 campaign, and we'll talk more about it as the show goes on. But let's begin by rounding up some of the key and major storylines from last season, and then get into what we're going to see this campaign. And well, we saw promotions, we saw near scrapes in terms of relegation, and we saw sides either overachieving or underachieving. Well, the big story of last season, well, it was Horm Dean in one of the best title races we have seen in the local area. Going into the final day of the Wessex League Premier Division season, there was four sides that could have staked a claim to that particular title and the promotion to the Southern League First Division South. Well, AFC Porchester went off as the favourites right from the very get-go last season in the Wessex League. Big name signings labelled big expectations at their door, and they went off to a flying start. They had the best record of anyone in the country. They went to Christmas without a defeat to their name. However, Horm Dean's consistency kept them in the race right up until the very last. And in the last minute of the last game of the season, Zach Gwillett comes up with a crucial goal, the goal that sends the Deans into ecstasy and into the Southern League First Division, condemning AFC Porchester to another season in the Wessex League Premier Division. Aside from that, Pompey Women, well, they had another season of continual growth. Okay, they missed out on promotion to the Championship, but they made it through to the semi-finals of the League Cup for the first time in their history. Did lose out in the end to Nottingham Forest. It was another half-decent FA Cup run as well. And since the summer, they have decided to go and take the Pompey Women are now a semi-professional side. The players have now been taken onto semi-professional contracts, further professionalising the club, following the move the year before to make Jay Sadler a full-time manager of the women's team. And so further steps are being taken off the field to try and enhance performance on it. As far as Gosport Borough are concerned, well, this season's going to be a brand new era. And that was because they narrowly avoided the drop last season. There was big expectations on Sean Gale's side. Well, he was cut adrift as manager in November time. Mark Moseley came in to take caretaker charge for the remainder of the campaign. And then they managed to survive. But Joe Lear and Pat Saracchi, the brand new management team there, following a season at Petersfield Town, which yielded success. And we'll talk more about that in just a second. But a new era cometh at Gosport Borough. Can they finally get that promotion back to the National League South? That'll be the story we'll be asking as the season goes on. As for Petersfield, well, it's been brimming for a few years now, following the insecurities, following the demotions down the league. Well, they finally bounced their way back up to the Wessex League Premier Division. Joe Lea and Pat Cerracci, their one season in charge, heralded a promotion into the Wessex League Premier Division. They had to do it by the playoffs, but promotion is promotion, no matter how you do it. And then as far as the Portsmouth Senior Cup is concerned, well, Horn Dean were the team that would go on and lift that particular trophy, sealing and lamenting a double at Fratton Park. And so that was the story of the 2022-23 season in our local area. So now we're all caught up. Now we know the storylines. Let's get into a brand new campaign. And that began in earnest last night. The Wessex League Premier Division getting underway. And well, the big winners on night one were Moneyfields, 4-0 winners away at Hythe and Dibden. So they get off to the perfect start in a campaign where they're still looking for their home ground to be fully converted and to move into full time. But a season where they feel like they really do need to make the kick. Third season in this division, third season for Glenn Turnbull in charge. He wants to improve upon the fifth place finish that they secured at the end of the previous campaign. And via Zoom, via Spain, I caught up with Glenn Turnbull earlier on this afternoon to gauge his thoughts ahead of the brand new season. I would say that joining me on the other end of the line via Zoom, it's Glenn Turnbull. Glenn, first of all, I hear that you had a very good off season, which is extending into the beginning of this season.
Yeah, well, I think I said in one, I think, you know, the off season for me, there wasn't really one. I think we finished at Bournemouth on the Tuesday night, got in just after midnight, like you do from a game down there. We're going away with a few lads from work golfing the next day. And by the time I'd landed at the airport in Spain, my phone was ringing for about a player for this year. So I think off season was about 11 hours. So it's difficult for managers, particularly where we're not paid or don't take anything out of budgets, or at least I don't. So you've got to fit it all in. So this is between Neil, Joe and I. We try and manage it. Joe's got a fight in a couple of weeks. He does the MMA. Neil's got a holiday book. So we just try and rotate it round. But didn't miss a session or a day of pre-season. But typical, we just booked up for my birthday week, and it just so happened it was the first week of the season and the FA Cup, which is probably more disappointing from a personal perspective than actually managing the side, as last night proved. I don't think I have that much influence there in that front, looking at last night's result.
I was going to say, based on last night's result, they wanted you to stay out in Spain, weren't they?
Yeah, but yeah, Pete's phoned up this morning and offered to stay out for another month. But yeah, no, it'd be okay.
So the end of last season, obviously, being and went, what in your mind were you thinking, A, was your areas of success, and then B, in terms of recruitment and maybe what you needed to do with the squad to improve and then finish further up the table this season?
I think last year's success was we set about getting into the top five, and we did. But I think as soon as that was almost mathematically sound, we kind of switched off. And I think after the Baffins game, it was almost certain. And then it was difficult for me as well as the lads. We were all, you know, preaching the, come on, let's kick right on to the end. But we didn't win a game after that point. So the last five games, I don't think we won. And I think we only scored a handful of goals. So that was something to improve on. And then from a perspective, I think we felt that we lacked a little bit of maturity in certain areas, and not leadership, but older, wiser heads. A lot was falling just on Steve and Jack, really, as was last season. So we recruited properly. We've got in some good players in Rambo and Jeffers, and Franco's almost like another new signing. But definitely Rambo and Jeffers give us that little bit of goal, that little bit of leadership. And they're different styles of leaders as well. So whereas Jack is, you know, follow me, this is how we're all going to go in, and he's powerful and heart on his sleeve, whereas Jeffers and Rambo are a little bit more controlled and a little bit more, let's take it steady. So it gave us balance in not only what the way through the spine and the side, but also in leadership styles. So that was the objective, and I think we've achieved it.
And I suppose as well, for some of those players who had good seasons last season, do you feel like, again, it's a case of them maybe stepping up to the plate, maybe a little bit more this season?
Yeah, I think probably our player of the season, both, well, definitely manager's player and player's player, was Callum Glenn. And his step up and move has literally been, unfortunately, for Moneyfield to move away from us, where he's gone in as joint assistant manager at Petersfield. So that was an area that for him was his next step. But I think a few of the others have got some targets they've set themselves. And actually, some of their comments and attitudes through pre-season has shown a little bit of maturity and a little bit of development. One of the things I used to say at work, oh, I'm just a young manager, this, that, and the other. And then you look in the mirror and you're 50 years old now and you're not so much. And I think some of the lads are looking at that now and they're not kids. You know, Elliot, Harry, Birmingham, that sort of Kano, that sort of group are now 24, 25, 26. And they're in that middle age group now where they've got to get that maturity.
So heading into this season, what's the main primary goals and objectives? If we were sat here in May, what would you be happy sat down talking to me with in the bank?
Well, I think the league structure, promotion and relegation structures come out today, and it's playoffs really is a minimum, and I think that would just be bog standard where we were last year. So fifth last year would have got us into the playoffs. So I think as the board expectations, that's probably what they're saying is a minimum. So I think anything less than that, I won't be overly happy with. But again, the same as last season, it's going to be dictated to by dependent on where we're playing. If we haven't got a home and we're not in a ground, as much as anyone says at our level, it's only a game of football and it doesn't really count. It is tough. So having to travel away all the time and get all of those things. So that's the aspiration. But I think we're desperate to get in and have a home and find somewhere that we can settle into.
And how important is that settlement and that security, knowing that you've got somewhere that you can call home? Because I suppose when you don't know if you're moving into a stadium from one minute to the next, or you don't know where you're playing, that can create some uncertainty, which sometimes can translate.
I don't think it affects the players as much as it affects some of us, some of the prep off the pitch. And that, don't get me wrong, this isn't a sob story, mm-hmm. but it's just silly things like, you know, carrying three bags of balls round, or having all the kit washed and split over whoever's washing it that week, be it me or Elliot or Joe or whatever we're doing, having that split around over your back rooms and bags of coat. And if it's a wet weather game, if you remember, oh no, if we've got the coats, who's got the coats, who's got the warm-up tops, all of those sorts of things. Whereas when you're in a home, you can just, you know, once you put them in the laundry room, the same people do the same jobs, but it's just easier then, because you're just, so it's those sorts of aspects which is a little bit of a grind more than the actual once you're into your routine. So our battle rhythm's probably from about half one if we're a 3 o'clock kickoff. So from half one through you're done then, that's fine. But it's all those hours and days beforehand in preparation that is the real issue that we need to just get some stability around, really.
And just finally, FA Cup this weekend. I know how much this competition means to you. How big is this for a club like Moneyfields, just to have that? That's obviously the prize money that comes with it, and obviously the chance to get your name out there.
I've said in my programme notes, I wrote my programme notes before we go, this is the club competition. I think anybody at our level, you'd be foolish to think you'll still be in the competition. I've almost said jokingly in the new year, but if you're looking at it late October and November, and if you're still around in it, you've done exceptionally well. But and this you can draw teams of any level, so it's going to be tough. But the rewards are, particularly for us at the minute, when money's hard to come by, it's probably massive for us. So to get a win in this would be not only important for the players, because they want to maintain a good start last night and they want to keep building on that, and they've set their own standards and we've given them a little bit of autonomy about setting their exact expectations, but equally the club, as I say, for the horrible to say it, but it is the finances. This is the big one that the club's can earn some money, and the vase is nice and it gives you a little bit of exposure. But the money, the prize money, is nothing to write home about until you're going very deep. And even then, it's not club changing. Look at Chichester, the amazing stuff Graham and Miles did down there a few years back. That's probably set Chichester up for the next 3-4 years after that little run they had, without having to worry about where it's coming from. And that shows you just how important this competition could be for clubs.
Well, Glenn, as always, it's an absolute pleasure talking to you. Wish you all the very best, both at the weekend and, of course, throughout the course of the season. And we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Cheers, H.
So then, Glenn Turnbull catching up with me earlier on this evening to talk all things Moneyfields ahead of the start of their season. We got off to a perfect start last night, 4-0 victory away at Hythe and Dibden. Right, time for a short break, but when we return, we're going to be hearing from Express FM's chief football commentator, Matt Drabble. We're getting his thoughts ahead of the brand new season. Plenty for him to get stuck into, having a Waterlooville, Pompey Women and the like. We'll be talking all about that, as well as their new loan signing, Harry Jewett-White, who has joined the club from Portsmouth on a loan deal. So let's get into a quick break, and when we return, we'll hear from Matt Drabble and we'll get the rest of the previews ahead of the brand new football season.
Over the White Line with Henry Deacon.
Everyone, welcome back to the second part of this week's Over the White Line here on 93.7 Express FM, where we are proudly sponsored by Bisco Solicitors. It is the place where the right team gets you the right results. For more information on the services they provide, do head over to their website. It is biscos-law.co.uk. Of course, you can get in contact with the programme this evening. Text Express and your message. That is to 81400. Tweet us at ExpressFM or email studio@expressfm.com. And of course, don't forget to get involved on the brand new ExpressFM app, which you can download from the Apple App Store or via Google Play. Right, great to have back with us once again this season. Very warm welcome to ExpressFM's chief football commentator for the 2023-24 season. Very warm welcome to Matt Drabble. Matt, first of all, how are you? Summered well?
Yeah, doing well. Thank you, Henry. A bit miserable about the weather, I'm going to be honest, but I've just booked a holiday somewhere sunny, so I can't complain too much.
Typical British summer, eh?
Exactly that. And I'm not sure Torquay will be much nicer, but the holiday's booked now.
So you were tempting me there. I thought you were going to say Lanzarote or something like that, just Torquay. Okay, we'll take the Great British Summer, English Riviera as we have it. But we've got a fantastic brand new season ahead of us, Matt. And of course, you're going to be front and foremost with a lot of stuff doing with having some Waterlooville. Does it feel like this season the tagline's a little bit different, because you've got the likes of, ironically, Torquay, the likes of Yeovil in the league, that the pressure and expectations may be different on having this time?
I think you'd be absolutely spot on with that assessment, Henry. Run a Twitter account with a few others called the NLS Wrap, which sort of gauges fan opinions around the entire league. And we ran a poll at the end of Havant's real collapse at the end of last season. What does this mean for the Hawks going forward next season? Most people predicted on our online poll the Hawks finishing mid-table to lower mid-table. You follow the FM researchers, that's the football manager researchers, who tend to know the league as well as anyone. They're all putting the Hawks in about the same spot, the sort of mid-table to lower mid-table spot, predicting anywhere from sort of 9th to 15th is what I've seen thus far. And as someone as well informed as you with the non-league scene will know, that's not normal. The Hawks are normally put consistently in the top six. So, yes, you mentioned Yeovil, you mentioned Torquay, Maidstone, all those big clubs coming down. Actually, I think the expectations are more about Havant and Waterlooville than they are about anyone else and what's gone on inside the club.
And is that a combination of factors based upon the last couple of seasons, where they've gone in with the bookmakers as the favourites and they haven't managed to go up, and in some cases not managed to get into playoff football? Or has it also been a case of obviously Jamie Collins has taken his first season in full charge, there's changes in terms of the squad? Do you think it's a combination of factors behind that?
I think that would be accurate. Jamie Collins having his first full season in charge, obviously a big one. He has a lot going from Jamie Collins, and anyone that watched the Hawks at pre-season, they're really impressed with the way they're playing, certainly against Sutton. I was all but blown away by how good the Hawks looked in that game against Football League opposition, even though it's pre-season. But he hasn't got maybe the embedded, deep-rooted Nelson know-how of the league that often comes with non-league managers. And that's been something that maybe has tempered expectations slightly. First full season in charge. I think the way last season ended, to be honest, is a massive factor. We can't beat around the bush. There's a huge elephant standing in the corner of the room, and it's got 14 games without a win written on it. And that's what happened at the tail end of the last season for the Hawks. That's changed a lot of perspectives. I think, as I'm sure might be one of your questions coming up, it's actually something that could really serve the Hawks.
Because I suppose this season there's going to be pressure from within, but there's not maybe going to be from other areas for a number of reasons that we've just mentioned.
Absolutely. And you know, I think that's what I was alluding to, is that having a Waterloo for every year has to contend with nigh on crippling pressure to be in the top six and realistically in the top four. They're always expected to be pushing for that title and that automatic space up to the National League. It's just not that way this year because of all those factors we've mentioned, the big teams coming down, what happened the last two seasons, the fact it's Jamie Collins' first season in charge. I haven't really heard anyone band the Hawks' name around with the top six, and I'm fairly close to the ground when it comes to National League South. I've got my ear on a lot of different clubs, a lot of different journalists that cover the league. No one's really putting the Hawks in that position. I think that's a massive, massive boost to the Hawks' hopes. Traditionally, they've been quite poor at home over the last 5 or 6 years. Again, people talk about the pressure. That won't be as much of a factor. And they've gone about their transfer business really quietly and really efficiently. Last season, there was, you know, big name transfers that garnered a lot of attention, the like of Jason Pryor, almost a borderline media circus at the sixth year English football around the Jason Pryor transfer. This year, a few really smart, intelligent additions from other sides in the league that have gone under the radar. Kai Innocent from Eastbourne Borough, a left-back that can play left-wing-back, can push further on. Really good option, really good replacement for Joe Newton with big boots to fill in that position. Tom Blair, the best player in a really shocking Weymouth team, but he's still got a few shouts for Team of the Season last campaign in a terrible Weymouth team that stayed up by the skin of their teeth. You know, shows what he's capable of. He's had a great preseason. Keeping hold of Mo Fowle, a huge factor as well. You know, I think quietly and comfortably, Jamie Collins in his first transfer window has done some very, very intelligent business, and the Hawks will be, you know, a bit of a dark horse for the playoffs. And that's not something you can often call the Hawks, is a dark horse. And I think it will really suit them well. And actually, I think because of that lack of pressure, because of all those things we've talked about, I think I back them a lot higher than most people in the league do this year. I think that they could sneakily climb their way into the playoffs.
Weirdly enough, when we speak about size, we talk about how important a start to the season can be. But it feels like in Havant's case, it's how can they end a season?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, that's been, again, not to harp on about the same point. I'm sure everyone involved with the football club is tired of hearing what happened in the last two seasons. But both campaigns, not identical, but you had a brilliant start to the season and then, you know, an almightily horrendous run somewhere. For last season, it was the very end. The season before, it was sort of February time. That completely derailed everything and all the progress you'd made across the other fixtures. You can't go 14 games without a win, or the previous season 1-14, if you want to be promoted up National League South, if you even want to make the playoffs in the National League South, which is becoming a more and more professional and competitive league. So, it's going to be a lot about how they end it and a lot about managing injuries. Starting, of course, we have to mention that Hawks brought in a right back to replace the departing Josh Pasley, and he dislocated his shoulder the last preseason game. So there is a gaping hole at right back now, and leaves the club with the question, you know, do they fill that internally or go out and look for a new right back?
Most certainly. Whilst I still got you, Matt, very quickly before I let you go, obviously you're going to be a part of our commentary team on ExpressFM over the course of the 2023-24 season, and you're going to be doing a few Pompey Women games in and amongst that, your commentaries this season. What are you expecting from them this campaign? Because the semi-professional contracts have come in, so off the field there's been a big commitment. Does that lead to expectation on the field?
Yeah, I mean, we've chatted a lot about expectation when talking about the Hawks, saying how it's jumped down. I think it's just jumped up a whole load for Portsmouth Women. Look, Portsmouth Women were part of a four-way title race last season, and they were the only side not operating semi-professionally, and they still managed to stay in the hunt. Now they've got the ability to pay players, to offer players more attractive prospects to move down to the South Coast. Of course, that's only going to advance them further. If they were able to keep pace operating, you know, the way they were last season, huge credit to the players and Jay Sadler, then, you know, imagine what they're capable of now. Now they do have that pull, because the only teams that pit them last year were the teams operating semi-professionally. So, yeah, expectations are really high for Portsmouth women. Keeping hold of Sophie Quirk, that's like a marquee summer signing in itself. She was wanted by numerous WSL championship sides. It's really exciting season to go in, a historical season for the Blues women, and I'm really excited to play a small part in it.
Well, Matt, we're really looking forward to having you as part of the team once again on Express FM this year. And I'll tell you what, next time we should have this conversation in the studio. Always a pleasure catching up, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you very much, Henry. You too.
Matt Drabble, our chief football commentator, there looking ahead to these seasons involving Havant and Waterlooville and Portsmouth Women. And Matt Drabble, as I say, will be a part of the commentary team for Pompey Live over the course of the 2023-24 campaign. Right, to Havant and Waterlooville then, because it has been a busy summer both on and off the field. Jamie Collins' first full season in charge at the club. Look, it's always going to have expectation and pressure as the marquee club in the local area, or the highest profile local club. But this season, with the likes of Torquay and Yeovil, as we mentioned in that interview, coming into the league, the expectation made from others outside of this local circle and sphere may not loom as large as it did previously. However, a couple of missed opportunities in the previous campaigns has come back to scar the Hawks. But they're looking to get back on track and back into the National League for the first time since 2019. 5 years ago it would be if they got promoted this year since their last tilt at top flight non-league football. Well, they kick off their campaign against Chippingham Town on Saturday, and yesterday they announced the loan signing of Harry Jewett-White on loan from Portsmouth. And Adam Nixon, who's going to be a part of our team again on Over the White Line this season, caught up with Harry, courtesy of the HWFC media team, to gauge his thoughts ahead of the season.
So, Harry, welcome to the club. How does it feel to rejoin the Hawks?
Yeah, good. Happy to be back. Obviously, I was here for a little bit before. Enjoyed my time here. So, yeah, happy to be back, yeah.
And what was it that made you want to rejoin the club after that, as 18 months ago?
Just want to play football, get some regular game time. And it's a good club. Like I said, enough for you, the boys. I've been here before, so I know it's about, yeah.
And since then, you've obviously achieved some great things. You made your League One full debut. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, like, brilliant. Dream come true, obviously, playing for, like, my boyhood club. So, yeah, hopefully do well here, go back there and get more minutes, yeah.
And I suppose having a full season here at the Hawks is going to mean you're going to be able to get, hopefully, some regular game time. Is that the aim?
Yeah, definitely. Just want to play at a good level of football, progress, like, myself. Obviously do well here, team do well, and yeah, stay here long enough and get promoted, or, you know, so.
And what are you hoping to achieve yourself, whether it be personal goals or team goals, while you're here at the Hawks?
I think, like I said, just to get minutes, and obviously Havant is a good club to do that, so.
And I suppose with it also being a club on your doorstep, it's handy, and you'll be able to monitor the progress of Portsmouth while you're away too.
Yeah, I only live around the corner, so. Yeah, not too far. Still going to be going into Portsmouth as well, so get the best of both worlds, yeah.
And you've joined at just the right time. The season starts on Saturday. What's your anticipations?
Looking forward to it. I think, obviously, we want to get a win, so train today with the boys, and there's a good atmosphere, so I think we should get, hopefully we will get a win, yeah.
Lovely. Well, it's great to have you back, Harry, and welcome to the club.
Thank you.
Harry Jewett-White, they're catching up with Adam Nixon. And the good news is I've just made my first error of the season, of the series and of the evening, I suppose. That makes it two now already. It's Western Supermare having to play on Saturday. That's the first one you could put on the bingo card, everybody. But that was Harry Jewett-White there catching up with Adam Nixon. That was Havant's newest signing, newest recruit that they signed in the week. But there have been plenty of activity in terms of the transfer front, and one of the key ones was the signing of Rory Deacon returning back to the club. Now, he spent a couple of seasons under the stewardship of Paul Dozzo, returns under Jamie Collins, and he also caught up with Havant's media team ahead of the start of the new campaign.
How does it feel to rejoin the Hawks?
It was good, to be fair. It was very good. Got some unfinished business here, as when I was here last year. Got injured, a long-term injury. Came back, we lost in a playoff semi-finals. It wasn't a great game, to be honest, but now I'm back, and as I said, got some unfinished business.
And is that the main reason you wanted to join?
Yeah, one of the reasons. Played with JT at starting as well. He was my captain. Unbelievable teammate. Wanted to obviously come here and play under him as a manager and get success.
So you've had a couple of years away. You've been at Maidstone. You've had a promotion and a relegation. How were those 2 years?
Two good years. You know what I mean? Two contrasting years in football. One very good year, one not so good year. Promotion year was unbelievable, obviously. My first promotion, something I really wanted to do in my career. And obviously the next season in National League, very, very tough league. And obviously it was unfortunate we got relegated. But now I'm here, ready to do my best and give my best for the team.
You also had a fair share of games. I think you managed to stay fit for most of those 2 years and ended up playing around 80 games. So that obviously is going to help you bring in that experience into you rejoin the Hawks.
Yeah, of course. The older I get now, I want to spread my experience across my teammates and bring everything I can to the table, and that's what I'm going to do here, and I'm going to hopefully bring all the experience I've got again from playing in the National League to obviously having it here now and come here to get promotion.
Well, there may have been a fan or two that may not have known where you play or what your sort of play style is. You're a very versatile player, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, to be fair. Played in various positions, but mainly my position is obviously on the wing. Love playing on the wing or behind the front man. Love scoring goals and providing assists.
And what are you hoping to gain from this move?
Promotion. When I signed here the first time, my aim with Doz was to get promotion, but unfortunately wasn't able to do that. As I said, I was hit with a long-term injury this year. Really want to stay fit and get that promotion.
Perfect. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome you back, Rory, and welcome to the club.
Thank you very much.
So then, Rory Deacon there catching up with Adam Nixon earlier on in the summer. So Havant looking ahead to a big season, looking to get their promotion back to the National League, and we will be watching that progress with close interest here on Over the White Line. Right, we're going to take a very quick break. Paul Marsh is back with the team this season here on Express FM, and he's been busy catching up with local managers. We'll be hearing after the break from United Services Portsmouth's Fraser Crook, as well as Steve Claridge, who's taken up the post as manager of Fleetland. So plenty coming up in the third part of the programme, so do join us for that. Reminder, we are proudly sponsored by Bisco Solicitors. It is the place where the right team gets you the right results. For more information on the services they provide, do head over to their website. It is bisco-law.co.uk. And of course, you can get in contact with the programme. Text Express and your message. That is to 81400. Express and your message to 81400. Tweet us. The handle you need is at ExpressFM, or you can send us an email. It is studio@expressfm.com. You're listening to Over the White Line here on 93.7 Express FM. We are the home of Pompey Live, Portsmouth against Bristol Rovers live from 2 o'clock on Saturday. Jake Smith, Robbie James heading up the team for that in the 2023-24 season. Whilst here on Over the White Line, we're proudly sponsored by Bisco Solicitors. It is the place where the right team gets you the right result. For more information on the service they provide, do head over to their website. It is bisco-law.co.uk. But plenty coming up in the last part of the programme. You can get in touch with it. Text Express and your message. That is to 81400. Tweet us at ExpressFM. Email studio@expressfm.com. And of course, don't forget, you can get involved via the app that is available on the on your Apple App Store and Google Play. Wherever you get your apps from, you can get in contact with us and send us voice notes as well throughout the course of the 2023-24 campaign. Right, let's get into some more interviews, shall we? Because Paul Marsh, who of course is a part of our mid-morning programming team on Express FM from 10 until 1, have been very busy talking to our local managers. And well, first off, he caught up with Fraser Quirk, the manager of United Services Portsmouth. Well, they survived the drop last season, looking to improve this campaign. And Fraser caught up with Paul Marsh a little while ago.
Paul Marsh here on Express, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the phone by United Services manager Fraser Quirk. Fraser, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, really good. Thanks, Paul. Yeah, we've had an enjoyable pre-season and we're just glad to get the season underway yesterday. So, yeah, all good. Thank you.
Well, it was certainly a hell of a way to start the season, wasn't it? You know, 1-0 up and then conceding a last-minute equaliser and then winning the game with literally a last-minute penalty. It's certainly not a game that you would have wanted to miss for anything, would it, Fraser?
Oh, no, you wouldn't want to miss that one, Paul.
You absolutely would not want to miss that for anything, would you?
Absolutely. Although, sadly, I did miss it because I was on the naughty step last night, unfortunately, as a hangover from last season. But the game itself, you know, the game itself was a brilliant way to start the season. And, you know, I suppose the neutral would have really enjoyed it. There was goals, there was action, there was incident, there was everything that you would want from it. And I think, although it's not quite a PO derby, it's still one of those local games that there's plenty of pride at stake. And to get off to a winning start is fantastic for us.
So how did you keep an eye on the events last night? Were you up there by phone or text or?
Paul, you know, I'm not recommending trying to follow your team via Twitter, via mates in the ground messaging you. It is the single worst experience, honestly. It's no good. So I got to the point where I just put my phone away and just padded around the house, you know, worrying about other things. So, but I can't take anything away from the lads last night. You know, stand fast, my challenges, but the way they performed last night was brilliant. You know, they've worked really hard through pre-season and got their just dessert by all accounts last night. And like you say, you think, here we go again. The amount of times last year when we conceded late goals that then cost us, but to show the resilience and the fight and the drive to get yourself back into the game even after that sort of massive hammer blow late on shows a great character for the lads, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, because obviously when you concede a last-minute equaliser, you concede a last-minute goal, usually there's only one thing that follows that, and that's to concede another goal. So, you know, to go up the other end and obviously win the penalty and then convert the penalty, literally, I think it was the 97th minute or something, was it? 98th minute?
Well
into injury times. That really does stand you in good stead for the early part of the season. Now, I know it was the first game of the season. I'd imagine that Petersfield are probably going to be somewhere in the mix around about with yourselves. Is it too early to call that a six-pointer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is game one of 38. Way too early, way too early. And I mean, I'm just grateful that we've got off to a winning start, Paul, if I'm honest, because we all have aspirations through pre-season. We go and get some players. We have a few players that join us, and then you try and shape and mould these players into a team that's capable of competing, and then ultimately winning. So, you know, to take your first step into Wessex Prem 23-24 and get off to a winning start is really good for us. But yeah, no, not a six-pointer at all. And I'm sure that Petersfield, with the quality that they've got and the players that they're adding in the not too distant future, will be as competitive as we are. And you know, good luck to them as well through the season. But for us, it was all about us last night and how we performed and what we did and how we imposed ourselves on the opposition. So I'm really pleased for our lads because they, like I say, they've worked really hard through pre-season and I feel as though they got their reward last night.
Well, congratulations on the first win of the season. Looking forward to the weekend. Are you involved in the Cup?
Yeah, we're FA Cup extra preliminary round on Saturday. We're the away team, but we're playing at Victory Stadium. So Christchurch have got an issue with their ground, so we've reversed the fixture. So there'll be FA Cup extra preliminary action at Victory Stadium on Saturday where we host Christchurch.
There you go.
And so, looking forward to that.
Exactly. If you are in town and around and at a loose end on Saturday, I can't think of a better place to be than Victory Stadium. And hopefully watching United Services make it two wins out of two.
Yeah, that would be phenomenal, wouldn't it? You know, to get off to a 2-win start to the season would be ideal. But you know, we'll get back to training tomorrow night. We'll do some more work on the training ground, and then we'll prepare properly, and we'll get to the game on Saturday, and you know, ask the lads to hit the standards that they've already hit. So, you know, that'll be the ask from now on, really, Paul.
Fraser, congratulations on your win last night. Best of luck for Saturday, and I look forward to talking to you throughout the season.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul. Likewise. All the best.
So that is Fraser Quirk catching up with Paul Marsh a little bit earlier on today. Right, Steve Claridge is the big-name managerial appointment of the summer, joining Fleetlands in the Wessex League First Division, the former Pompey man harping headlines by heading over there. And Paul Marsh caught up with him a couple of weeks ago, looking ahead to his first season in charge.
It's Paul Marsh here on Express, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the phone by the new Fleetlands manager and, of course, a former Pompey manager, Steve Claridge. Steve, how are you doing this morning?
Very well, thank you.
So, obviously, previously you were at Salisbury, and I think a few people were very surprised to see you at Fleetlands.
Yeah, probably myself included, but it's been great, actually, I've got to say. I've thoroughly enjoyed it so far. So, completely different to Salisbury. You know, some really nice people. Been sort of everybody working together, pulling together, and it's, when I say ambitious, I think it's ambitious in respect of within its limitations. So it has an understanding of what it is and where it should be and where it's trying to get, and it's quite exciting to be part of that, actually, I've got to say.
Yeah, it is a club that's on the up. Obviously, Chairman Ian Selstrom has worked wonders in the last few years that he's been there. I was at Fleetlands as an assistant manager 12 years ago or something like that, a long time ago. And, it really has come on in leaps and bounds in the last sort of 2 or 3 years. So, obviously, I'm sure that Ian hasn't given you a sort of, you know, a you must win the league target or anything else like that. But is there anything for yourself where you think you want to be, at, you know, come sort of May and April?
I think we want to be up and around the playoffs. When you take over, I didn't know the level. It was the same at Salisbury when I first went there. And, you know, thankfully we turned things around very, very quickly. There's certainly something here to work from. You know, obviously the previous manager and people in charge, you know, got the club to 8, which was fine. There's certainly remnants of a good side left. There's 2 or 3 that have gone. You know, 2 or 3 probably of the better players that have gone. But you know, it's our job to bring that little bit more professionalism to the club. Make sure that people understand the standards that you know, we expect from them. Try and implement that as best we can. Work with what we've got, and then you know, add to what is not a bad side. You know, this is certainly something that doesn't need wholesale changes. This is something that just needs titivating, which is what we're trying to do. And as you say, you know, working for a really decent man in Selstrom, somebody who has his finger on the pulse and is trying to do everything he can to make the club, you know, a better football club all round. And he's, as you say, he's done so far, he's done a fantastic job. No one's expecting things to happen overnight. I think we're all aware that, you know, the clubs, from where the starting position the club's in to where it needs to get, is going to take time. But and that's on and off the field. But, you know, at this stage, it's nice to play a part.
Now, obviously, you mentioned that at the moment you don't really know the level. So how have you gone about recruiting players? I would imagine that quite a few players have possibly approached you, because I know what it's been like in previous years working with somebody who has managed and played at high level. Players of this level want to go and work with them.
Yeah, I mean, that I wouldn't say that has been a massive part of what we've done. I think what is important is that you keep, and often this is the case when you haven't got an awful lot of money, is you keep the good players that you actually have. That's as important as getting others in. Now, you know, as I say, the remnants of what have been left is certainly, you know, a decent squad. Numbers-wise, we only lost two or three, which is probably amazing when you consider, you know, a new manager comes in like I have. So we've managed to, you know, keep the bulk of the squad together, which is good, because there's no doubt there are players at the club who, you know, have been sought after. And now it's a case of really just having a real good look at what we've got, analysing what's going to be good enough, what isn't, and then identifying the areas that we need to improve upon, which is the position that we're in now. So, there are certainly areas that we can improve upon, as ever. But there's certainly a side and a team there now good enough to stand its ground. So it is now a case of the foundations are there. It's just adding that little bit of quality.
Steve, thanks for talking to me. I really, really do appreciate it. Good luck in your friendly against Hayling tonight. And I'm sure that we'll talk throughout the season.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
So Steve Claridge there catching up with Paul Marsh in pre-season, looking ahead to the brand new campaign. Just a quick reminder of what's happening then locally in the Wessex League over the next few days. Fleetlands, well, they take on New Milton Town away from home on Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff in that one before them returning to action the week after. No midweek action for them. Just a reminder of the weekend action in the Wessex League Premier Division. Right, it's Manny Fields against Wexford United in the FA Cup on the Friday night. Baffins against ASC Stoneham on the Saturday afternoon. United Services Portsmouth away at Christchurch. Horndean against Portland. ASC Portsmouth World City and Fairtown away to Welton Rangers. So that is what is coming up on Saturday in the FA Cup as that gets underway for our local sides, and wish them all the very best. And of course, we'll be catching up with our local managers as the season heads along. But that is, well, pretty much it for the first Over the White Line of the season. It's been and it's gone very, very quickly, but plenty to keep you up to date with across Expressive. And don't forget, Pompey Live is back on Saturday for the first time this season. Bristol Rovers providing the opposition at Fratton Park. Join Robbie James and Jake Smith for uninterrupted and unadulterated blues commentary from 2 p.m. until 6 p.m. on Saturday. Jake Smith is with you beforehand on Friday and then afterwards Monday at 6 p.m. for the Football Hour to discuss all the major talking points from that. Coming up tonight, Express Hits of Endless Scandal from 11. Dan Ogres is Scattering the Roots from 9. And then Hannah Roper has Express Country coming up after the news at 7. Just great country from Nashville to North End. But that is it from me. I'll be back same time, same place next week. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye for now.
Over the White Line with Henry Deacon.